welcome to a special St. Patrick's Day edition of Mets Musings. Hope everybody had a great week out there. Unfortunately, it's not good news for Edwin Diaz. If you probably saw last night, he suffered an apparent leg injury after Puerto Rico's win over the Dominican Republic. Last evening, the injury came after the final out as the team was celebrating. The news is not good. Today, this afternoon, Edwin Diaz underwent surgery to repair a full-thickness tear of the patella tendon in his right knee. General Manager Billy Epler announced this afternoon the general timeline for a injury of this type is around 8 months. Could be sooner, could be longer, but usually it's 8 months they give, which means the season is over for Mr. Diaz. This is a big blow to the New York Mets, but let's get the official word. And Billy Epler met the press a few hours ago and said this.
After that happened on the field, did a clinical exam. One of our doctors, Dr. Carr, was on property down in Miami. So he called me from the clubhouse after he was able to give Edwin a clinical exam and said it looked pretty textbook for a patellar tendon injury. And imaging today would confirm that or point us in a different direction. So Edwin had imaging today around noon, and it was pretty straightforward, pretty black and white. So Dr. Altchek called me, as well as Dr. Galata. We talked through the diagnosis and what the treatments are. In Edwin's case, this is something that's treated by surgery. So he's going to have surgery this afternoon. As far as a general timeline, because we can't really give specifics, it depends on, what they see when they go in for the surgery and then what the days after look like. So I'm just going to give general timeline. General timeline for a surgery like this is about 8 months. All right. There are instances where athletes have come back earlier, more around the 6 month mark. But those are a little bit more of the exception than the rule. And so in this case, we won't update Edwin's timeline for a while.
He went on to talk about the reasons for the surgery and concluded by adding this prognosis, if you will.
As far as a general timeline, because we can't really give specifics, it depends on, what they see when they go in for the surgery and then what the days after look like. So I'm just going to give general timeline. General timeline for a surgery like this is about 8 months. All right. There are instances where athletes have come back earlier, more around the 6 month mark. But those are a little bit more of the exception than the rule. And so in this case, we won't update Edwin's timeline for a while.
So what does it mean for the Mets' chances in 2022? Well, keep in mind, this is still a good team, and they did take a lot of make a lot of effort to improve this team to get it to a point where it may not be as bothersome. But it is very difficult to replace a closer of the caliber of Edwin Diaz. I mean, we have to be honest about that. It is not easy to get a premier closer in here, and the Mets had the best in the business, and I was a doubter in the beginning, Everybody that knows me knows that, and I was proven wrong, and I admit to that. And he has really come about to be one of the top guys. But, you know, it's very difficult to replace a guy like that. And what the Mets do, don't know how they are going to replace this piece. They do have, of course, they signed David Robertson and Brooks Raley and John Curtis and a bunch of other guys for the bullpen. They feel they're deep enough. They do have guys with closing experience. Ottavino can close. Raley has closed in the past. And, of course, David Robertson was a closer. So they do have guys that can take his place in the name category of closer. But as far as being the closer of that caliber, you know, they don't grow on trees. I mean, they just happen every so often. And he's one of the best in the business, but we soldier on. The Mets have to pull up the back, their bootstraps, and just go on. And of course, there's the argument now about the WBC and not going and not having it now. And look what happens and all of that sort of thing. And I don't know. I was enjoying the WBC until this happened. And could it have happened in spring training? Yeah, it could have. I mean, if this was something that was a weakened area on his body and he made just one wrong move, it could have went any time. It could have happened in spring training. But it didn't. It happened at WBC, so they're going to get the rap for that. The only thing that bothers me about the whole WBC thing and the injury is that the Mets signed him to a 5-year contract. Not only did they lose a year off of that contract with him, but he gets paid. And you know, that's okay. That's part of the deal. But there really should be some kind of thing to work out where, I don't know, the Mets get another year for free. I don't know. I don't know how you work it out, you know. But it just seems like a raw deal with this whole thing that they lose a whole year of a contract off a guy, and he loses a year of his career. So, you know, and then the question is, will he be the same pitcher? That's his push-off leg. It was his right leg, and that's the push-off leg. And can they get it strong? Usually it's a type of injury, I think, that can be rehabbed after surgery, and, you know, the player comes back pretty much 100%. But, you know, it's just, it happened at a... It happened to a team that wants to win, that's ready to win, that's built to win, and, you know, something like this we didn't need at this particular time. And it really hurts. And of course, the Mets are professional. If you, you know, you could just see Billy Epler's reaction there that, you know, we have to keep going on and we'll go on. And I'm sure they'll be scouring the release lists to see if any pitchers get released, relief pitchers, who's out there still. I tell you, there's a couple of guys that I saw on this USA team that, boy, if they could get in here. One is that David Bednar. He's a relief pitcher with Pittsburgh. He looked awesome the other night and the night before. Maybe you can swing a deal with a Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh's going to want a haul. They're going to want prospects. So who do you give up? You don't give up Alvarez. You're not going to give up Beatty. So maybe you give up a Vientos and some lower minor leaguers. I don't know. The pitching of the future of the Mets is in the lower minor leagues. Do you give up one or two of those guys? hoping that everybody clicks. I don't know. It's a tough call, but we'll see what the Mets have up their sleeve. They'll come up with something. Look, if they have to get more offense to go in that direction to try to beat to death everybody, then maybe that's something they have to consider too if somebody was to become available and maybe look to pick up another starting pitcher or something and move one of the current starters to the bullpen. We'll have to see. It's all up in the air, but we're only now, what? We're 13 days, 12 days away from opening day. So it's coming fast, and we'll just have to hope for the best. The Mets are going to look at Zach Britton, the former Yankees reliever. He is holding a showcase for teams in Miami tomorrow or today. No word on that yet. And the Mets are going to go and let's see what he's still got. He is a favorite of Buck Showalter's, who we had in Baltimore Orioles when they were both there. You might as well check him off. Check him out, see how he's doing, if he's healthy and can give you some help in the bullpen, which would free up Brooks Raley. Yes, I know he has a hamstring strain, but they think he'll be ready for opening day. Another Mets pitcher who's not going to be ready for opening day is Jose Quintana. Quintana, he's going to undergo bone graft surgery due to a rib fracture, and he will be out until at least July 1st, Billy Epler reported the other day. When the Mets looked at the initial scan, it showed a stress fracture on Quintana's fifth rib. Team doctors then found a lesion on his rib. That discovery prompted a biopsy, which Epler said was part of the reason of the delay in saying what he, what was wrong with Quintana. The lesion was tested and it came back as benign, which is good news. And they're going to opt for the conservative care route and the surgical route, which has a higher probability that the bone heals. He chose surgery, Quintana did, and he will be out about 3.5 months. It's some kind of fusion surgery that they did. Jose Quintana should be back in July, and I guess what the Mets are going to have to do is they have to keep their head above water. They're going to have to win as much as they can now, stay above water until reinforcements get here in July. Quintana, and hope that nobody else gets hurt. Let's see. What else do we got here? We've got Kodai Senga. Good news. He took another step forward on Tuesday, throwing a bullpen session. He did some long tossing before throwing off the mound. He was scratched from his start last Saturday due to tendonitis in his right index finger. But it looks like he's on the road to recovery, which is a good thing, good news for the Mets. So, something good. We have more injury updates, and we'll get to them. That's about all we have to report on so far. Got a couple more injury updates, and I'll be back with them after this slight quick break. So, enjoy.
Baseball and BBQ, your place for interesting baseball talk, opinions, and history.
Baseball and BBQ, your place for barbecue recipes, tips, and interviews from the world of barbecue. If you like baseball and if you like barbecue, then tune in to Baseball and BBQ. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and baseballtalkradio.com.
Did you know that Baseball PhD can be heard on baseballtalkradio.com?
Our shows rotate with other top baseball podcasts.
Now, don't forget, that's baseballtalkradio.com.
With us, we'll help you get a PhD in life through baseball.
With baseballtalkradio.com, you'll hear the rest of the excellent universe of baseball podcasts.
Hello, baseball fans. You're listening to Baseball Talk Radio, the home of great baseball talk shows. At baseballtalkradio.com, you're going to find great shows like this one with the great Gary Mack and the Mets Musings podcast. And now back to the show.
Okay, and we're back, and we've been talking about Brooks Raley, and they addressed his injury situation. He's considered week to week, but that everything is positive with Raley, but he won't appear in a spring training game for at least a week. That was a couple of days ago. The team keeps testing him, and he is still throwing. So that's a good sign. So he'll keep his arm loose. He'll keep his arm strength up. And just keep throwing. Relief pitcher Bryce Montez de Oca, another guy the Mets have been counting on this year, who had a chance to break through and make this bullpen, underwent an MRI on Monday, which revealed a stress reaction in his right elbow. Montez de Oca's imaging revealed no ligament damage in the elbow, which is good news. Montez de Oca will be shut down for about a week before being reevaluated. It looks to be a positive diagnosis, all things considered, but one which could still lead to a stint on the injured list. He has lit up the radar guns this spring and could push for a late inning bullpen role with the Mets, but he's got to be healthy. And, you know, that's the big key, as we say all the time. Health is the most important thing. Right-handed reliever Sam Coonrod, who was a candidate for one of the final spots in the bullpen, has been diagnosed with a high-grade lat strain. Coonrod felt different discomfort following his outing on Tuesday and underwent imaging. They're getting a lot of imaging this spring training in the Mets. Oh, boy, I'll tell you. They're keeping those guys in business at the MRI place. He had been having a terrific spring, firing five scoreless innings while allowing two hits, walking one, striking out seven. With Coonrod no longer an option for the opening day roster, it could open the door for another reliever such as Steven Nogueset or Jimmy Yacobonis. So looking for those guys who, you know, now's their chance. Now they got to step up. Now they have an opportunity, especially with, Diaz down. It opens up an opportunity for everybody. And, you know, hopefully somebody will step up. And maybe some of the young guys will step up. And, you know, as far as offense, too, some of the prospects, and Alvarez, Abadi, Maurizio, or if he makes the team. I have a feeling Maurizio and Alvarez will not make the team this time around. Batty, however you say it, has a good chance. Vientos may have a chance. To make it at least out of spring training, and we'll see what goes on. Six guys were sent down and assigned to the minor league roster, and Kevin Parado, their number three prospect, and a guy that they're very high on. He's only played like eight games, but the Mets are very high on him. He was sent to the minor league camp, as well as Alex Ramirez and a couple of pitchers. So that's the first cut that the Mets made this spring. And one guy who's definitely not going to get cut. Let's see. I'm sorry. Yeah, Connor Gray, Grant Hartwick, Eric Orr's, and Josh Walker were the guys that were sent down besides Parada and Ramirez. So those guys are going down. One guy that's not going to go down to the minors, I don't think so, is Taylor McGill, who's gotten off to a strong start in spring training. He threw 4 shutout innings against the Miami Marlins on Monday in 8 1/3 innings so far. He has a 1.08 ERA and 6 strikeouts. David Peterson pitched well in his outing the other day. I think he went 4 or 5 scoreless innings. Looked very good. Justin Verlander dominated in his scoreless innings. 5 scoreless, I believe it was, for Verlander in his latest outing. And the Mets are playing, as we record this now, against the Nationals. And we'll see how that works out tonight. You can't count the records, of course, of these minor league games. But you'd like to see them win some games. But they're playing with a, they're looking at a lot of young guys now because a lot of the big names, Alonso, McNeil, Escobar, they're all in the WBC. So, but it gives a chance for some of these younger guys now to shine. And, as you said, Tyler McGill has pitched well. David Peterson has pitched well. With Quintana out, they are going to have an opportunity to get into that rotation. And, will it be Peterson? Will it be McGill? Which one's better suited for the bullpen? Which one pitches the best? If they're fairly even, which way do you go? McGill, as you remember, started off the season last year and pitched very well for the Mets. And till the injury bug got him last year. So we will have to see with that. But it's going to be an interesting next couple of weeks to see how this all is going to shake out. And I don't know. It really, really hurts losing Diaz and in the way that they did. I mean, it wouldn't have been any good losing him anyway, but just the fact that he lost, they lost him due to an injury, and such an injury. If you lost him for a month or two, you could, much like with Quintana, you could figure out something. But to know that you pretty much lost him the whole season, I mean, that's the truth. So we'll have to see what will come about all of that. All right. I think that's going to wrap it up. Oh, the Mets placed right-hander Zach Greene on outright waivers. He was selected from the Yankees in the Rule 5 draft, and the Mets are not going to keep him on the roster, so they really can't spare the space. So they're going to see if he gets claimed on waivers. If not, they will offer him back to the Yankees for $50,000. Boom. And if another team makes a claim, they will assume his Rule 5 status, and they'll have to keep him on their roster for the entire year. So that's all the up-to-date news I've got, and that's the up-to-date news on Edwin Diaz as well. So he had a surgery today, and it's a long time, but let's hope for the best. They'll figure something out. That's what it's all about. And that's why they get paid the big bucks, to figure something out. All right. That's going to wrap it up for this show. I want to thank everybody for taking the time out to listen and to watch if you're looking on YouTube. Hey, I keep forgetting to announce this, so let me not forget it tonight. We have a new voicemail number. Yes. It is 516-329-9396. So if you will copy that down, and you can send us a voicemail if you'd like to be on the show. We'd love to have you on. Send a rant, anything you want, a question, a statement, anything. Call that number, 516-329-9396. It's coming up on the screen right here. There it is right now on the YouTube, on the video part of this show. 516-329-9396. That's the new voicemail hotline. So give us a call. It'll be in the description at MetsMusings.com. It'll be in the description on Anchor. It'll be in the description on YouTube. So check us out on all those venues. Anchor is now Spotify. So if you have Spotify for podcasts, we are on that. We are on Apple Podcasts. We are on Google Play. We are on Outcast. We are on anything that you may get your podcast on, Mets Musings is there. So go check it out. And don't forget the YouTube channel at youtube.com/@Mets Musings. We are there too. And you can watch the video version on this. And it's nice. I've got a nice little St. Patrick's display today. So go check it out, the video version as well. And please, please hit the subscribe and like button. And that way you'll always know when a new edition of the podcast is coming out. So, let's all say a prayer and remember to, even though Diaz is hurt, we have to keep the faith, stay optimistic, and let's go Mets. I'm Gary Mack. I'll see you next time on another edition of Mets Musings.